O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We read within the Gospel, rather, within an epistle, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you represent, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. This is Romans 12, verse 1. Beloved, these first words of the epistle, which probably still ring within your ears, are intended as an instruction for each of us as believers. It tells you and I the mode, the manner in which you and I should worship God. That is to say, we are to do so with our everything, sacrificially, and here within his holy temple. Our blessed Lord Jesus, he went into the temple of God, his true Father, and remained there as a total gift unto his Father. This is instructive for each of us too. Do we remain with God in his temple? Or do we leave as quickly as possible like a pagan? I remember when I was in Japan during their high holy days, which are at this very time, in the year 2019, I watched many hundreds, thousands actually, enter into the Shinto temples and offer their prayers. It was their yearly duty. Most young people, after they completed their moments of prayer, laughed at each other mockingly at the fact of what they had just done. But even the most devout souls offered their prayer for at most 15 seconds. If this is what the pagans do devoutly to their demon gods, if we have the true God before us, how little time is he worth before or after Mass? Recall the Feast of the Epiphany. The three kings, which we celebrated yesterday, when they entered into the house in which they found the Blessed Virgin, she was there with her child. They fell down upon their knees, prostrated themselves. They worshiped our Lord Jesus Christ, opening up before him their treasures. They offered the Lord the three gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. And thereby they acknowledged him as the true Lord, the true man, the true King. Do you realize that the Holy Church of God offers these exact same gifts to her Savior continuously? Every day the Catholic Church, without ceasing, sacrifices to the same Lord these same three gifts. She offers him frankincense by acknowledging and believing him to be the true Lord and Creator of the entirety of the universe. She believes that no man can ever change a single teaching handed down from God. She offers him myrrh when she affirms that he assumed the substance of our lowly human flesh in which he willed to suffer and to die that we might be saved. She offers him gold by believing without stain of doubt that he reigns eternally with the Father and the Holy Spirit and giving him perfect praise through his gift, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But we can see mystical meaning in these gifts as well. Herein is found great challenges for our spiritual life. Heavenly wisdom is symbolized by the gold. Remember what Solomon says in Proverbs 15:6. He teaches, quote, a priceless treasure lies in the mouth of a sage, a wise man. Again, King David in Psalm 37 says, the mouth of the just utters forth wisdom. Mystically, we offer frankincense, that is our pure prayer, our unadulterated prayer. This is the prayer that seeks not God's gifts or his consolations, but pure frankincense prayer seeks to know God loved, to see him adored, that acknowledges his dominion over all things, over the very self, and lovingly pays the debt of gratitude for divine friendship. Psalm 141 says, quote, let my prayer rise up before thee like incense in your sight, O Lord. For when our prayer is pure, it yields a sweeter fragrance to the Lord than the smoke of the finest incense that could be purchased from the Near East. And just as the smoke rises upward to the sky, so does such prayer ascend before the face of our God, carried by our guardian angel. The mystical myrrh that we offer is the mortification of our carnal flesh. As Romans 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2 say, if we have died with him, and so too shall we live with him. Again, 1 Corinthians 9:27 states, "Therefore I beat up my body, I bring it unto submission, lest by any means, after I have preached unto others, I myself should be rejected." Thus we offer the Lord gold when we shine in his sight by living our lives, evidencing that we live not like hurried pagans, but like those illumined by the light of heavenly wisdom, resting in the presence of God. We offer our Lord Christ mystical frankincense when we send up our purest attempt at prayer, falling down upon our knees in adoration as long as our love allows, merely sitting with him, listening to him, loving him, letting him love us, offering back to him the gift that has made us be for himself. And yes, too, we offer him mystical myrrh when we, by timely practices, mortify our flesh, the carnal nature that exists within us, warring constantly against our spiritual nature. We mortify our flesh with all its vices, all its passions, and live our lives under the gift of self-control. In this way, we carry the cross behind our blessed Lord Jesus, who always bears the greater weight if we but allow him to enter into our weakness. These wise men, they came and sought him for the very best of what they had. We have seen that the church continually offers these same three gifts to the same Lord. The question then remains for you and I: gold of wisdom of a life well lived, frankincense of a life of sacrificial oblation in sweet prayer and adoration, and the myrrh of a life of penance and self-control. What do you and I bring to the Lord? Do we linger like the boy Jesus in the temple of God? Or do we hastily rid ourselves of God like the pagan? As the scripture says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."